To the brightest audience in the country, this is not Bob Enyart, America's most popular self-proclaimed right-wing religious fanatic. My name is Josh Craddock, and this is Stephen Sutherland with me today in the studio.
Hey, Josh.
We're filling in for Bob as he gets over his throat laryngitis thing that he gets every year. And so, how old are you, Stephen?
I am 14.
And I am 13, and we're both homeschooled. We go to Denver Bible Church.
Correct.
And we're here to do the show.
We'll give it our best shot.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, I'm a little new at this, Josh. But you're now pretty much got your break in radio. You're the pretty much world famous now, I guess, coming in on Bob's show.
50,000 watt station.
Correct. So I guess I'll just kind of ride the wave. Come and you just kind of take me along and I'll see what I can do.
All right. Well, everybody enjoy the show. We're gonna start out on a little different note today. One of the last times I did co-hosted one of these shows, I did a segment called the Lord of the Rings trivia segment. And so I'd like to continue that tradition with our Lord of the Rings trivia question of the day. And so here it is. What was the Hobbit's name that carried the One Ring during the Lord of the Rings?
And some of you may have noticed, more people probably know the answer to this one than your last one, Josh. You made it pretty hard last time.
Yeah, last time I made it pretty hard. But this time, if you call in and get this question right, you can come on the show if you want, and we'll give you a bonus question. And if you get that one right, you'll get a discounted product of your choice.
Yeah, we'll give you a catalog if you don't have one, and you can just send us the order.
Yep, or if you know what you want. Or if you know what you want, you can just order it right now. So the question again, I'll give it out. What was the Hobbit's name that carried the One Ring during Lord of the Rings?
And if you think you know or you just want to call in on the show, the phone number is 1-800-8-ENYART, 1-800-836-9278.
Yep, that is correct. So make sure you call in and participate in the program.
Right. So we're here. We're going to give you kind of a different perspective, I guess, than Bob does. Try to entertain you, even educate you as to our point of view. And on some different stories in the news.
So now you're going to enter our worldview through the eyes of a 13 and 14-year-old.
And let me tell you, it's pretty scary sometimes in here. But we'll.
It is.
Hang in there, and you'll make it through.
Yep. All right. And the phones are ringing off the hook. So should we go to the phones? Do you think we ought to?
We'll take one story and then
we'll see where it goes
from there. All right.
Okay.
Well, all right. Here, let me take this first one here. Coming out of Jacksonville, Florida, a Christmas tree that was decorated in the lobby of a federal courthouse was removed, and it was removed in an effort apparently to make sure no one is offended. Now, you might think this is a tree with a lot of religious and Christian symbols.
Crosses, maybe an angel on the top.
Right, which, personally, I don't have a problem with. You'd think only people with a grudge or an axe to grind with Christians or with God would have a problem with that. But no, this was an artificial tree, so not even...
It wasn't even cut down, so not even tree huggers could be mad about it.
Exactly, and there was no religious ornaments on it. And so I don't know who would be offended by this.
Right. So if you know who would be offended by this,
exactly,
let us know, because we're kind of at a loss.
I'm a little confused on that one. But they wanted to make sure, they're so concerned that no one gets offended, that first they put up an artificial tree so no one's worried about killing trees. Then they have to take it down to make sure they don't offend anyone again. And that's one of the things our government is so worried about.
All right. Well, that is a very interesting story. Again, Christian suppression in action. And that one wasn't even Christian suppression.
Well,
it was just artificial tree and non-religious ornament suppression.
I think they're so concerned about Christmas and Christianity that they're attacking things that don't even qualify as Christian.
Wow.
But anyway.
All right. Well, we already have several lines open for our Lord of the Rings trivia question of the day. Let's go to Dave in Denver, Colorado on line 27. Dave, speak your mind.
Yes.
Hi, how are you?
Fine, how are you?
Good. You have the answer to our trivia question?
Yes, it's Frodo.
Good answer. You are correct. So now you'll get our bonus question, and if you get it right, then you get our discounted product of your choice.
Okay. Right? Bonus question.
Okay, the bonus question is, where did the one ring have to be taken to be destroyed?
Oh, I can picture it.
Yep.
Mordor.
Mordor. Do you know where specifically in Mordor?
It's in the Dark Mountains, the dark part of Hobbit, when you look at the map on Hobbitville.
Yes.
It had to be taken and thrown into the fire.
Of Mount?
Oh. Of Mount.
I don't think you got it.
We'll give it to you.
All right, we'll give it to you.
I mean, if I can draw you a map of where it's at.
You're good. All right, you're good. The answer is Mordor, and it.
We do have one other caller who thinks he knows. So
yeah, so let's go to him and see if he gets it right too. Right,
hang on one second.
All right,
hang on one second, and I think we'll give it to you. But I want to see if Matt in Littleton can be a little more specific. So hold on. Matt, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
All right, let's see. Do you know the answer?
Yeah.
Let's hear it.
It is Frodo, right?
Yeah, it's Frodo Baggins.
Yep, all right. And what was the answer to the bonus question?
What was the bonus question?
Where did the One Ring have to be taken to be destroyed?
Oh, it had to be destroyed in Mordor.
Good. Where exactly in Mordor?
Mount Doom.
Good, you are correct. You're correct, and so we will get you your discounted product of your choice. So if you could stay on the line, we'll get you. And Dave, if you want to call back in, I think we lost you, but we'll give you a different bonus question, see if you can get your chance at that.
Okay.
So, all right, thank you, Matt.
Okay, thanks.
All right, and let's see here. Should we go to another story, Stephen? I think we should.
All right, but I was impressed. We got two phone calls pretty quick on that one.
That was very surprising.
I think both Dave and Matt qualified on that one, so we'll either get him a catalog. Oh, is Dave still on the line? All right,
Dave,
let's go back to Dave.
All right, here's Dave.
Dave, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
All right.
Hey. All right, since he got that last one, let's give you a different bonus question. How about that?
Okay.
How many elf rings of power were made?
Elf rings of power. It was one to each tribe, one to the elves.
One to the elves?
No, I'm talking to myself. It's like one to the elves, one to the orcs, one to the goblins. Seven.
Actually, you're very close, but I'm sorry, you are incorrect. The answer is three elf rings of power were given to the elves.
Oh, three elf rings of power. I thought it was just rings of power. I'm sorry. Okay, yeah,
well,
that's right.
Yeah, three elf rings of power, seven were given to the dwarves, and nine were given to the men, and then, of course, there was the one ring to rule them all. So
obviously, Josh has memorized this pretty much, but let's see. No, I don't know. You got Mordor right.
Yeah, so you were pretty close. So if you want to stay on the line,
We'll get you
a catalog.
We'll make an executive decision here. Dave, do you have a catalog of Bob's stuff?
No, I don't.
Okay, well then we'll send you a free catalog,
and you can choose which product you want.
Okay, that sounds good.
All right.
So, all right. Thank you.
All right. You have a nice day.
You too.
All right. Well, let's go to our next story, kind of continuing on with Steven's story there. A school district backs down and will allow Christmas cards into the school.
Wow, now that's a pretty bold move, it sounds like.
Yes.
Christmas cards at Christmas.
Yeah, I mean, weird. Okay, so officials originally denied the student's request to distribute Christmas cards and then reversed its policy only after the threat of lawsuit. A school district in Wisconsin has backed down from its policy prohibiting Christian students from distributing Christmas cards that include the religious origins of the candy cane.
Okay, now I think I'm starting to get a better picture of this story. This isn't someone who's against Christmas. This is someone who's against Christians.
Exactly.
And let me guess. So they were worried about offending people because Christmas is about Christianity and about the birth of Christ, hence the name. So they wanted to exclude that just to be all-inclusive.
Exactly.
All right, so now first they're being exclusive so they can be inclusive. But then they're not too worried, I guess, about being all-inclusive once they're hit with a lawsuit.
Exactly. According to a statement from the Liberty Council, which is a religious freedom law group, which is representing five of the students from West Bend Joint School District, says that the school changed its policy, thus averting the filing of a federal lawsuit against the school.
Mm-hmm. So they were worried. They were worried and worried and worried about anyone being offended, anyone being excluded, except Christians, of course. That goes without
saying. They really
saying.
Don't care about exactly. the feelings of any Christians.
Right. But as soon as they were threatened with a lawsuit, they weren't too worried about multiculturalism and including everyone.
Multilateralism. Everybody's invited. Everybody's going around. Yeah.
Right. So they're concerned now, I guess, just from a distance about people's feelings. So shows really where their true concern is.
Should we go to France now? I think we should. We have a story from France here.
We do. I was a little worried because I was like, I don't want to go to France, Josh. Don't make me go there. All right, but yeah, we will take a quick side trip to Paris, France. All right, in Paris, France, wrapped gifts that were destined for children at a kindergarten were banned from the school. And these were illegal presents. And what do you think these illegal substances or these illegal products were? They weren't bombs.
Drugs. Or, alcohol.
No,
anything like
nothing
that?
Nothing like that. Guess what they were? Well, I guess you already have guessed, so I'll just tell you. They were chocolate. In fact, they were chocolate shaped like Saint Nicholas with his Christian cross, because that's what he does. That's Saint Nick. Anyway, so they were really worried, so worried about any form of Christianity creeping in that they outlawed this cross due to a new law that took effect in September, banning any religious symbols like the Jewish yarmulkes, Christian crosses. Any religious symbols are now outlawed in French public schools.
And that's interesting because I know over in Italy, they have a law that was made in 1924 that it demands that you display the crucifix. So that's a little bit interesting.
That's quite a difference.
Yeah, comparing the socialist France to the Catholic Italy.
Well, although Italy's it wouldn't be my first place of residence outside
the US. No, of course not. But anyway, I
do have an idea, you know, for what they could use on their chocolate, because right now they're just using regular plain chocolate bars.
Yeah, that's what they swapped the Saint Nicholas's
right.
out. Yeah.
So now I think they should have Saint Nick. Instead of holding a cross, he should probably be waving a white flag. I think that would represent France and the French mindset a lot better than any semblance of Christianity anymore.
Yeah, so somebody get a hold of the French.
Right.
And let them know the idea, and I think that'd be good.
Get a hold of Jacques Chirac out there. Someone get someone working on this, all right?
Yeah. And if any of you listeners want to call in and participate in the program, the number to call is 1-800-8-ENYART. 1-800-836-9278. And, you know, we were talking about how evil France is right now. They've outlawed all religious symbols and all that in the public schools.
Mm-hmm.
Well, think about England. There's a new study out and this is according to News Telegraph UK. Nearly a third of Britons do not know that Jesus was born in Bethlehem, according to new research published the 14th. A similar proportion is unaware that Jesus was Jewish or that the first man in the Bible was Adam.
Now, hang on a second. They don't know where Jesus was born. They didn't know he was Jewish. And they don't even know who Adam is.
Exactly. That is pretty sad, don't
you
think?
That is scary.
That's scary.
I don't know. I can hardly even imagine not knowing any one of those things, much less being ignorant of all three.
Yeah, I mean, I may be a sheltered homeschool student, but I can't even comprehend that. That's weird, okay? But I guess there's still hope for them because a striking 85% knew that the event Christians believe happened on the first Easter day was the resurrection. So that's a little hope for them, but they also identified Easter as Easter bunnies and chocolates. So
I'm not going to give him any points.
Yeah, I don't think so. So the findings emerged in a survey which showed that younger people are more ignorant of the basic facts of Christianity than elder ones, with the 50-year-old or older group scoring the highest.
I guess that's pretty typical.
Yeah, so the findings show that Britain is increasingly secular and can no longer confidently be described as Christian. Now, is that news? I mean, we've kind of known that for like 50 years now.
Britain is not Christian. That's not exactly a groundbreaking development, at least not in my mind. I think we've known that for quite a while now, I would
think. Yes, we have.
But wow, a third of the people not even I'm not even going to get into it again. That's just scary.
So, yep. So that was an interesting trivia question we had. So should we do another story or?
Well, no. Actually, now that you mention it, trivia questions. I'll have one for you, Josh. If you don't mind.
Okay.
I do.
Okay.
All right. Now you brought up a Lord of the Rings one. Let me ask you a political / Bible question. All right. Now those two don't always go together, but here goes. All right. Now, what is Howard Dean's favorite book of the New Testament, at least according to him?
I'd have to just give a guess. I'll say Revelation.
I would say you're close, but really you're not, because that book is in the New Testament. Howard Dean said his favorite book of the Bible or of the New Testament is the book of Job.
And as this is the brightest audience in the country, most of you all out there know that Job is in the Old Testament,
exactly.
Not the New Testament.
Right.
That reminds me of when Al Gore was trying to say his favorite Bible verse. His favorite Bible verse apparently was John 16:3.
John 16:3.
Yes. Isn't that funny? Now, John 16:3.
Now, wait a minute. I have a feeling that Al Gore doesn't know the Bible well enough
to
know what John 16:3 says. My guess would be he's thinking of John 3:16.
Exactly. That would be my guess too.
All right. So
should we read the verse?
I am gonna. Let's take a look at John 16:3.
Let's let Al Gore know here about what his favorite verse actually says.
Mm-hmm.
We should give a warning though.
We should.
Yeah. Warning, 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 Will Robinson, there are Bible verses up ahead. For those of you in the audience that advocate pluralism and diversity, we know here at Bob and Your Live that you would like to censor anyone who would dare quote a Bible verse in public. This warning gives you fair notice. Raw, unadulterated truth is about to be uttered. Okay, so why don't you go ahead with our Bible verse, John 16:3.
All right, here we go. John 16:3 says, "And these things they will do to you because they have not known the Father nor me."
Wow. Okay. I don't think Al Gore knew that's what it said.
I wouldn't think so.
I don't think so either.
I think that's just another liberal ignorance of the Bible. But hang on, we'll get back to the story in a second. We have a caller, Scott. What do you say, Scott?
Hey.
Hi, Scott.
How are you, Scott?
Hey, guys, I'm great. I'm a first-time listener, and just listening to you two talk is just awesome.
Well, thank you.
I'm a newfound Christian about a year ago, and listening to two guys come on the air, and you guys talking about as young as you are, and it's kind of funny you said I'm a sheltered homeschool person. I mean, you guys have more class, just better than any other 13 and 14 I come into in contact in public.
Well, thank you, Scott. That's really nice of you.
And I wish I don't watch Lord of the Rings, but I wish I knew the question or the answer.
Well, that's okay, Scott.
But I'm a first-time listener, and you guys very much impressed me and made an impact, and I'm going to keep listening while I'm driving home from Aspen.
Well, thank you. Thanks for the words of encouragement. I was a little nervous about how this would sound, but you're kind of reassuring me.
Yeah, well, you're doing pretty good, man, for a first time.
Well, thank you.
thank you.
And you guys, I'm going to continue listening. I got you guys set on my radio, and it's just keep preaching the word. And that's funny about the warning about the truth being spoken. That was good.
Well, we'll keep it up. And if you want, we can put you on hold, and we can send you one of our free catalogs of some of the products we have for sale at Bob and Yart Live, if you're interested.
That would be awesome.
All right. Well, then just hang on, and you can give that to our producer.
All right. Great, guys.
Thank you, Scott. Well, that was a very encouraging call.
All right, now I feel a little better now.
I was a little nervous, but all right. I do too. So let's continue with that story.
Right. Well, it was reminding me of Howard Dean and Al Gore. Well, Howard Dean, he's one of the candidates mentioned for the chairman of the Democratic National Committee.
Yeah, and he just recently ran for president also.
Right. But after this latest election, when John Kerry was soundly beaten in the election, and people were saying that's because so many Christians and people concerned about moral values voted, they were saying that the Democrats have to be more concerned with religion, with moral values, and reach out to that kind of voter.
Exactly.
And so the person they're thinking of putting in charge of their party can't name a single book of the New Testament.
Exactly. There's Howard Dean leading the way.
Right.
For the left wing.
Right. And another thing is, who do you think, you know, so far is being mentioned the most about the head of the ticket in 2008 for the Democratic candidates?
Well, it's Hillary Clinton.
Right. Hillary Clinton. And back when the Clinton Library was opening, uh-huh. she was down there in Arkansas saying how good it was to be back in the South, for one thing. Back home, as she considers it. Although I thought she considered New York home when she was running for senator.
I guess she's just trying to garner some Southern support for
right. exactly.
2008.
And so one thing she was saying, she actually identified herself as a conservative Christian.
Yikes. That is scary.
Hillary, now, I want to hear from anyone out there listening who considers Hillary Clinton a conservative Christian.
If you consider Hillary Clinton a conservative Christian, call into the program. We'll talk to you. 1-800-8-ENYART, 1-800-836-9278.
And we can get you help, I promise. But anyway, as I was saying, Hillary Clinton said that, and she was talking about how, as a conservative Christian, she likes to worship God when her schedule permits, she added, as evangelically as possible.
Now, what does that mean?
Now, Josh, you help me out here. What on earth does that mean?
I'm clueless about that. If you know that, you can call into the program
Let us know about that one, too, because evangelically, that has nothing to do with worship. That's evangelism. That's witnessing and has nothing to do with how you worship. So I think her staff should look that word up and just say, excuse me, Mrs. Clinton, you have no idea what you're talking about again. And just let her know what it means, what the words she's using mean, because she obviously has no idea. And if she were a conservative Christian who likes to worship God, I would think she would know the meaning of the word evangelical.
Yeah, that is really funny.
Right, and another thing that reminded me of it was some of the liberals were denying that it was Christians and religious voters, people concerned about that turned out in large numbers in the election. And they said, well, I don't think so because, I mean, John Kerry, he attends Mass almost every week, and so he's pretty religious. they just don't have any concept of this. And it's one of those things, like people have said, they haven't used this terminology in so long, even in a false sense. They don't even remember the meaning of the words anymore.
I know. It's silly. It is silly.
Mm-hmm.
So,
but with the Democrats, with Hillary running for president, with Howard Dean leading the effort, it could be interesting to see how they reach out to voters.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to go that far.
Right.
So. Well, we have a call. Let's go to Jonathan from Denver, Colorado. Jonathan, speak your mind.
Jonathan, are you there?
Yes.
Hi,
Jonathan. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing all right.
Oh, good, good.
But I was just calling in about Hillary Clinton.
Yeah?
It just amazes me how stupid liberals can be.
Yeah, well, it amazes me just about every day. But go ahead.
Well, I heard that also about evangelically as possible.
Uh-huh.
And I was wondering the same thing as you guys. What could that mean? I think you guys should take a poll on that.
Yeah, maybe we should. We should put this maybe up on KGov. What on earth was Hillary Clinton talking about?
That
is a good idea, Jonathan. Thanks for the idea.
Yes. All right, thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
We're now going to go to line two.
Torch,
speak your mind.
Are you there, Torch?
Yeah.
Hey, Torch, how are you?
Hey, pretty good.
Good.
I think I know what Hillary was talking about.
What was she talking about? Fill me in.
She was talking about trying to reach the masses.
Uh-huh.
That's all I got. I just thought I'd throw that out.
Yeah, well, that's the best idea I've heard so far.
You guys are doing a good job.
Oh, well, thank you.
It's very nice of you.
All righty.
Well, thank you, Torch.
Okay, not a problem. God bless you guys.
All right, you too.
Well, that was very nice of him.
That was.
Well, I guess that must have been what she was trying to do. She must have just been trying to get the conservative Christian vote.
Well, obviously, but I think before conservative Christians say, oh, look at that, she's a conservative Christian and likes to worship evangelically. Well, they should say that and then say, now, wait a minute. If she doesn't know the terminology, how on earth could she actually know God?
Exactly. So that is the state of France, England, and the
Hitler.
Democratic Party.
Exactly. We just kind of like to lump them all in together. And now that we're kind of jet-setting around the world, we've done Paris, we've done England, we went to Arkansas for a while to talk about Hillary. Should we take one more international trip?
I'd say one or two more, yeah.
All right. Most of our listeners, I'm sure, and you, Josh, you've heard about the Greek bus that was hijacked.
Yes, and I heard about that.
Right. Well, those hijackers, well, apparently they weren't the brightest criminals that the Greek police had ever encountered. They claimed to have dynamite, and they would blow up the bus if their demands weren't met.
Uh-huh.
Well, apparently all they had were some croissants and some cigarettes in their bag of explosives.
Wow.
So,
I mean, I guess if you like, I don't know, how do you blow up a bus with croissants and cigarettes? I mean, I guess you could like throw the cigarette in the gas pipe or something.
Well, yeah, obviously they were bluffing, and the police called their bluff, and the men were armed with hunting rifles, and they surrendered after calling some friends and family and realizing that the situation was not going their way.
And everybody knew who they were.
Exactly. And so the hostages said that these guys were not, you know, they weren't exactly as sharp as tacks, weren't too knowledgeable. They didn't know what was going on too much. But think about this. These guys whose lives are now just about over, I mean, in the sense that they're in trouble, they're going to prison. Now, if Greece had had the laws on the books that God had said, if those people who were demanding a ransom for those people they had kidnapped,
mm-hmm.
if the kidnappers would be put to death for that,
yeah.
Do you think these guys would have risked it?
No way.
I doubt it.
Especially not armed with croissants, cigarettes, and hunting rifles.
I seriously doubt it.
Yeah, definitely. If God's law was put in place, they would have no problems. I
mm-hmm.
guarantee it.
Yeah, it's well, so now we've covered France, Britain, Greece, and various parts of the United States.
I think we should do one more international trip.
All right, what you got?
We're going to go to Australia now.
Uh-oh.
Some renegade researchers in Australia have determined that the baby Jesus had hypothermia when he was born. Apparently, according to Australian broadcasting, laying naked in a manger during the winter meant baby Jesus would have certainly suffered from hypothermia, say Australian researchers. They analyzed how Jesus appeared in nativity paintings and paintings on Christmas cards, compared that with the temperature that it would have been on the 25th of December, and published their work in this week's Medical Journal of Australia. Now, the wackos that did this, the neonatologist Dr. Tiahiko from Townsville Hospital in northern Queensland and his co-researcher Marion Ko, wife and mother, wrote, "As we are experienced in looking after sick newborn babies, we have been impressed every year by the fact that in depictions of the nativity scene on Christmas cards we receive, the newborn Jesus is almost always naked." So they figured out that it was really cold on December 25th in Israel and that the baby Jesus was naked, okay? Now, that doesn't make any sense because, of course, we know that in the Bible he was wrapped in swaddling clothes and he was not born on December 25th. So
as far as we can tell, December 25th was just about a random date that was picked. But I think that story just about speaks for itself.
Yep. So
we've
Merry Christmas, everybody, and do right and risk the consequences.